This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 30, entitled Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. This is text 17. Vayunot kamato tara kapasam rudhanandika kasa shvasha kritayasa Kunte gura gurayate. Translation: in that disease condition, one's eyes bulge due to the pressure of air from within, and his glands become congested with mucus. He has difficulty breathing, and upon exhaling and inhaling, he produces a sound like gura gura, a rattling within the throat. There's no purport. Text 17. Sayana parishodibhi parivhitas vabhandubhi vachimano pina bhrute kalapasha vashamgata. Translation. In this way, he comes under the clutches of death and lies down surrounded by lamenting friends and relatives. And although he wants to speak with them, he no longer can because he is under the control of time. Purport. For formality's sake, when a man is lying on his deathbed, his relatives come to him and sometimes they cry very loudly, addressing the dying man, "O my father, O my friend, O my husband." In that pitiable condition, the dying man wants to speak with them and instruct them of his desires. But because he is fully under the control of the time factor, death, he cannot express himself, and that causes him inconceivable pain. He is already in a painful condition because of disease, and his glands and throat are choked up with mucus. He is already in a very difficult position, and when he is addressed by his relatives in that way, his grief increases. So the subject matter of today's verse and shloka is death. There's two things in this world that appear very mysterious and always attract a lot of attention. The first one is when we come into this world. That's called birth. And the other one is when we leave this world. That's called death. Everyone crowds around the newborn baby. As soon as it's born, it's just like a magnet. The family members, the friends, the relatives, they all come. And they're fascinated. Who is this new person? Where has he come from? Who is he? What will he be like? What will he do? That's refined in Vedic culture when the astrologers called in. One of the family members is there with the clock, and they get the exact moment that the head appears from the womb. Some astrologers, they determine the birth according to when the head comes out, and other astrologers, a different school, they determine the moment of birth when the feet leave the womb. Whatever the case, everyone's wondering. In Vedic culture, they immediately cast the chart, and some hours later they read to the family members, "Yes, he will do this, he will do that." When Prabhupada's chart was cast, it was a great pleasure to the family members. He will be a great sadhu. At the end of his life, he will cross over the ocean and he will open up 108 temples for Radha and Krishna. That was great news to his father, who was a pure devotee. So that's, everyone comes, what is this mystery? The birth. Then another mysterious thing happens at death. Everyone crowds around the dying man, just like it's described here. The relatives, they're lamenting, or they're hoping he will expire quickly so they can get the insurance policy or the what he's left in the will. But it's the same principle, again, like a magnet. The coming in and going out is something, even to this day, it remains something very, very, very mysterious. Where will he go? What he will do? Those who know the science of Krishna consciousness, they know that death is only the end of one chapter and the beginning of another chapter in the book. It's like you're reading a good book, not a boring book, you're reading a good book, you get to the end of the chapter, you can't wait to start the new chapter. Wow, that's the suspense has built up. What's going to happen in this next chapter? So those who are enlightened souls, dehinosmin yata dehe kovanam yovanam jara tatati antaras paptir dirastata nimoyanti. And they know life is a continual chapter after chapter until hopefully you finish the book of material existence and you begin the eternal life in the spiritual world. So it's fascinating. Of course, of the two, we prefer the birth. It's the beginning, it's fresh, it's new. You start over again. Everything young is attractive somehow or other. Because in the spiritual world, it's like that. The new baby, the new kitten, the new puppy dog, the new tiger. 10 years later, you won't come close to it. But when it's young, it's so cute. This is nature's way. So we'll take care, and the life can go on. So we prefer the beginning, not so much the end. The Doors had one song, The End.
This is the end.
Of all that ever was, the end. So death is not a pleasant subject matter. I was talking to some godbrothers recently, or godsisters, and they were telling me that now that we're entering into our 60s, she was telling me, one godsister, now she's finding herself thinking about death every day. Very uncomfortable. Very nice devotee, not so much devotional service, but you know, you get this reminder, like in India there's this little rodent that follows the tiger in the forest, Prabhupada says, making it difficult for the tiger to get his meal. That little rodent is making a noise. Cheep, 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 cheep. A tiger is coming. The tiger can't get rid of her. This is a quirk of nature. She's following the tiger and making a noise, Prabhupada said, so that all the deer flee away. Death is coming. Move quickly. So when we get older, we hit 50. Prabhupada said 50 is the beginning of old age. And now we're 60, we're well into the... And one older godbrother told me, he said, you do not know what it's like to be old. He's in his 70s. So, chirp, chirp, chirp. It's not very pleasant. But neither can it be ignored. It can't be ignored. Just like we say... When we're doing the hall programs, you've heard the analogy so many times, we say that we can't be like the ostrich. In South Africa, we see the ostrich. Here also, I think of ostrich. Ostrich, when there's some danger, what does, you know, big body but little brain, little intelligence. When the danger comes, when the hunter comes with the rifle, she thinks that by putting her head, she digs a little hole and puts her head in the ground, she thinks the problem's over. Excuse me. The hunter's simply moving in closer, getting good aim. You can't ignore these things. You have to face life, to face the facts. Death is coming. There's that saying, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But nowadays, it's all play and no work. The real work of becoming Krishna conscious makes one a fool. Death is fast approaching. It's like that. I sometimes think that in the old days, they had those hourglasses. They didn't have these like watches. Even this is going way back. They didn't have these timepieces. Like, they had the hourglass, so they would put sand in that glass. It's like a, when it goes into a thin funnel that comes out. And they would turn it over, so then you could see how much time has expired by the sand that has gone down to the bottom and how much is left. It was much more like realistic. You could see how much time was left. It's like, oh my gosh, time is running out. You can't really tell with a watch. It's going around and around. With that hourglass, you can see time's running out. So time is running out. The problem is we don't know how much time we have left. We're not. Prabhupada said, Maharaj Parikshit, he was fortunate. He knew he had only 7 days left. That was a blessing. Sometimes even our devotees take it as a blessing to get cancer. They know, oh, now I have this much time left. And then we become very serious. You accelerate, as we told our disciple, Brajalila Devi Dasi. She was a 19-year-old girl, leukemia. She came, Guru Maharaj, I'm on the verge of death. What advice do you have? I said, now it's time to get in the fast lane on these super highways in these modern countries. First world countries, you have, well, in America they have 7 lanes. Can you imagine? We have not that many people here, fortunately, in Australia and Sydney. But you have the slow lane, the middle lane, and then you have the fast lane for the BMs and the Mercedes. Whoom, the Porsche. But now, it's time to get in the fast lane. The last, like we said, the last lap. You have so much time left, the fast lane. Actually, we should be always in the fast lane, because you never know when the death will come. So we have to deal with it. Because really, you could say, it's the most important moment in life. This sounds contradictory. How could death, which is the end of life, be the most important moment in life? This is like completely contradictory. Death means the end. So how is it the most important moment in life? It's the most important moment in life because, as we've discussed numerous times, it determines the next birth. Of course, we're not thinking like that. We're thinking we're going to go back to Godhead, but that is very rare. It's Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudulabaha, Krishna speaking to his devotees. After many, many, many births, one who is in full knowledge surrenders unto me. That means Atma Nivedanam, the point of full surrender. It's a long path from Shraddha to Prema. From the beginning, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha to Bhajana Kriya Anarta Nivriti Syat Nishta Ruchi Bhav Prema. The long. It's not so easy to go back to Godhead. So there may be birth in the Gaudiya tradition. It's not, I haven't found it in Shastra, but traditional lore, which is sometimes used as evidence in Vedic culture. The Gaudiya say one birth as a sadaka, next birth as a at Ragunuga, means spontaneous devotional service, and next birth as prema, prema bhakti. And then next birth on that planet, in the universe where Krishna is performing his pastimes, you get trained in your prema as a servant, as a friend of Krishna, as a parent of Krishna, as a lover, and then you go to Golok. So it's taking some time. So even for us, we may have to take birth again. So it's the most important moment, because death is the most important moment, because that's what determines. It determines, it's going to be a big change, and you want to make sure that if you're going to have to do it, you want it to be better. Just like when you go to high school. You remember when you were in high school, it was a big thing, which university you were going to go to. You knew you were going to go on to university, at least you were encouraged by your parents and society. So it was a big thing. You were going to change. So all during those 4 years of high school, you're thinking, you know, I want to go to this university. I don't want to go to a junior college. I want to go to this big university. Because you're going to spend 4, 6, or in some cases, if you go for a PhD, you're going to spend 8 years there. You want to make sure if you're going to spend 8 years somewhere, you want to make sure it's the best place. That's a long time. So the same logic holds true. If you're going to die and you're not going to make it back to Godhead, You want to make sure that you get the best opportunity in your next life, because it's not 4, 6, 8. It's 40, 60, 80. If you're going to go someplace for 40 years, for 60 years, for 80 years, you want to make sure, you know, you don't want to end up in Ethiopia, Darfur, Iraq, you know, hey, we'll come back to Sydney or San Francisco as a devotee. Of course, the best thing's not to take birth again, but that's very rare. 99.99999% that have to come back. What is the best birth if you have to come back? We don't think of it in terms of place. We think of it in terms of opportunity and consciousness. What is that birth? Atta va yoginam eva kule bhavati di matam. Itadhi durlabhataram loke janma yat ishvaram. That's a nice verse. Durlabham, it says, very rare. Or he takes birth, Krishna says, in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Durlabham. Certainly such a birth is rare in this world. That's the best you can get. If you have to take birth again, that's the best. Take birth in a family of transcendentalists, like Pratapana and Jayashree Prabhu. And we see the results, such nice children. The opportunities there. But for most people, this is not an option. They have a wide variety of other choices, multiple choice. 8,400,000 choices. Some of those births are good, some are bad, and some are downright ugly. You look at the different lower species of life, like creatures that live under the ground or under the sea creatures, now they're going and with their able to go down to the depths of the ocean, they come up with these, like, even in the science fiction writers can't even come up with these creatures. And they're living entities. And they have these very grotesque, like weird, they're just like you and me. How did they get it? Because at that last moment, they blew it. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam te yachati antakalevaram. Yam tam evati kunteya sadatar bhavabhavita. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Prabhupada described it in a very interesting way. He said, it's just like a video. When you die, then your whole life comes before you like video. And that moment which is most dear to you, your mind becomes fixed on that, and that takes you to your next birth. Just like you're watching a video with a friend, and, you know, on the machine. Hey, stop it there. Rewind it. I want to see that part again. So life's like that. Shh, wait, stop there. Wow. And then, yum, yum, vabhi, shmaram, babam. But the shmarana means to shmaranam, like shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu shmaranam, parasevanam, archanam, bandam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. It's all, shravanam kirtanam is all meant for Vishnu smaranam. We're hearing and we're chanting so that the smaranam will be there, always remembering Krishna. There's two ways you can always remember somebody. If you love them and if you hate them. It's like Kamps. He was very Krishna conscious. He was always remembering Krishna because there was a prophecy from the sky that the eighth son of his sister, Devaki, would kill him. So if someone's on the prowl to kill you, you're like, wow, where is he? What's that? What's he doing now? What's that? Where is he? Find him. Kill him. So he was very Krishna conscious, 24 hours a day. Rupa Goswami said, that's not real Krishna consciousness, because we have to think of Krishna favorably, like gopis. They were thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, but favorably. So if that love is there, if you practice Krishna consciousness, Shravanam Kirtanam, which are very potent ways of evoking that love, the Smaranam will be there. You won't have to force yourself. Okay, Krishna! No. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita, talking about inauspicious and auspicious times to leave this world, when the stars in a certain favorable or unfavorable, the yogi tribe, I'm going to leave then, I'm not going to leave. Krishna says to Arjuna, don't worry about all these things. Just always be engaged in my devotional service, and your destination, auspicious destination, is assured. So if you love Krishna, then you're thinking of him all the time. That's the safeguard, that's the safest way. But if you don't have any love for God, then who knows what your mind's going to think of when you die. I was reading a report that they did a report of the military did a report. In Vietnam, the soldiers, when they died, what were their last words? I don't know why they were doing this report, but it was that somehow it was conducted. And most of the soldiers, when they died on the battlefield, their last words were, Mommy! Because mother's very dear. She nurtures us, she helps us, you know. Even Hiranyakashipu is described in the Hari Bhakti Surodhaya. Who was the author of that book? Is that Narada? Hari Bhakti Surodhaya by Narada Muni. It's described, authorized Vaishnava scripture, it's described that when Hiranyakashipu was in the lap of Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev was poised with his nails to go deep into his chest and take out his heart and then his entrails. The last words of Hiranyakashipu were, Mommy, help me. That's in the Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, it's Shastra. And Prahlad Maharaj is on the side, said, my noble father, my father who's Kshatriya, why are you speaking like that at the moment of death? You're a great warrior. You're calling out for your mommy. So who knows? Who knows? Just like you have ever been in a car accident and the car is tumbling and, you know, you a lot of times we're very proud, the devotees, Hare Krishna, lots of times, and afterwards, oh my, I'm so embarrassed. 10 years, 15 years as a devotee, when death is there, I'm screaming bloody murder. Or you bump your head, you stop. That's like the test before the final exam. You go through you have your little test before the final, right? And then it prepares you for the final. So when you bump your head or a little accident, and then what comes out of the mouth? How prepared are we? So that's the fate of those who are not prepared. At the moment of death, the scene is very much like we see here in Bhagavatam. The materially attached person, he's in pain, he's bewildered, he's confused, his throat is choked up with mucus, he's pleading to the doctor, give me a few more minutes. I often tell the story of Aristotle Anassus, who married Jacqueline Kennedy after the president, John F. Kennedy, was killed. Some years later, she remarried. Before that marriage, he was in another marriage, and one of his sons was involved in a very serious car accident, and he was taken to the emergency ward in the best hospital in Athens. And the father heard that he was in critical condition. He was in the ICU, intensive care unit. And that means, Prabhupada said, when you're in that state of coma, it means the demigods are having a meeting deciding if you should stay or go. I heard that in a lecture. When you're in a comatose condition, demigods are having a meeting, Prabhupada, and they're looking over your life. They're voting. He can stay or he'll go. It's not nothing the doctors can do. It's all destiny, providence. What? Let me see the records. Give me the records. He can stay. No, he must go to Yamalok. So his son was in the ICU. ICU unit. And so Aristotle Onassis, he said, I'm coming. He wasn't in a hurry to get to the hospital. He went to the bank and he took out, I think it was $700,000 in cash. He had that power, that influence. And he drove to the hospital, and by that time his son was back in the operating room. And he walked in, just walked in without any, you know, washing his hands or putting on the surgical dress, the gown. He just walked in, boom, the doors, I read this article. Boom. And he threw the money down on the table. He said, save my son, and he walked out. He was thinking that the money could save the, he was so, that was his consciousness, you know. Money is the honey, money is the honey, it's so sweet, it can't be beat. Money talks. He was thinking he could control destiny with money. He threw the money down, and when his son died, he was like in shock. No, but I gave $700,000. So these are pitiful scenes that we see at death. This is not an exaggeration. This happens every day throughout the city of Sydney. It's just all behind closed doors in hospitals and old age homes and, you know, whatever. This is a pitiful scenes for those who are not prepared. You have to be prepared. We, and the Boy Scouts, it's probably the same here in, do they still have the Boy Scouts? You never see those uniforms. Only in Russia I see those. They have those uniforms in Russia. The Boy Scouts, our motto was, be prepared. How much different it is, the departure of a sadhu. It's a whole different description when a sadhu, everything about a sadhu, his appearance in this world, his activities in this world, and his departure, it's a joy to hear about. It's a joy to hear how he appears. It's a joy to hear of his activities. And it's a lesson in the art of dying when he leaves. Prabhupada was so kind that he invited all of us to his departure. Unfortunately, for whatever reasons, I still to this day have not figured it out. Many of the GBC, they didn't tell us Prabhupada was leaving. They kept us back because, you know, we were doing Sankirtan or I don't know what. I was so angry. But Prabhupada called all of his disciples to his side to show us the art of dying because it's so important. Again, it's the most important moment. It will determine your next death. He wanted to show us how to die like a Vaishnava. In Vedic culture, a sadhu who was about to die, he just walk into the forest alone and relinquish his body as nonchalantly as someone changing their clothes. Just like you have to change your clothes. So you go into a room, you close the door, and you take some clothes off and you put some clothes on. That's no big deal. You have to close. You're thinking, oh, my sweater. Oh, my sweater. I don't like this new sweater. Dhiras tata namuyanti. This is what educated, spiritual education. Changing bodies for a sadhu is as nonchalantly as is changing the clothes. He didn't want to attract a lot of attention. Oh, I'm dying. My body, help me stay. Doctor, please, can you give me a few more minutes? No, let it go. This body is a sign of my rebellion to God. I'm not proud of this body. Let it go. Yuck. He's thinking like that. He didn't want to attract a lot of attention to his body. He would rather be remembered for what he did when he was alive, for his example, for his noble deeds, for his instructions. There's a famous quote. Someone asked a friend about an associate who's died recently. He said, tell me how he died. And his friend replies, don't ask me how he died. Ask me how he lived. Sometimes I think like that. Some of our great devotees, they've passed away. And there's so much about how they died and the circumstance in which they died. And I don't like to remember them like that. my dear godbrother Tamal Krishna Goswami, he had the accident. I don't think of him like that. I think of him on Radha Damodar, traveling Sankirtan party, going on the China mission, being a very dear servant, intimate servant of Srila Prabhupada. It's more important how we live than how we... Accidents will happen, even on the royal road. Not because someone dies in Mayapur, you know, and surrounded by many devotees, and somebody else dies by a gunshot wound, you know, some assassination, or he trips and falls off the bridge, that this devotee is more glorious than that. No, death is a very embarrassing situation. You know, it's a very embarrassing situation. And it's not the real, thing is how you lived your life. Not how you come in and not how you go, but what you did while you were here, what service you did. That's how we should remember our illustrious God brothers and God sisters. It's nice, of course, if it can be arranged, like my dear friend Nirguna Prabhu, all glories to him. He got cancer. He decided, all right, I'm going to stop eating and drinking. Wait a minute. Take all the best. He knew it's too advanced, the cancer. He wrote me, so I'm just going to, like, that's what Prabhupada's father did when he found out he had an incurable disease. This is the tradition. It may come as a shock to Westerners. But this is, there's no use, you know, flogging a dead horse. No more life left in the body. Now's the time to prepare for going back to, focus all one's energy on Leela Smaranam. You've done your service. Now the Leela Smaranam. Remember the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. The Smaranam, so you'll be fixed. Remember, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj did that with Radhanath Swami's guidance. Nirguna Prabhu did that with Harisuri and different like that. That would be very nice if we can do. But sometimes it's not possible. What's important is what you did in your lifetime. That will help you prepare when that final moment comes. So the sadhu, he would leave his body to the tigers. How fortunate they were. Or it would be, body would be burned in ashes, or in the case of a saint, his body would be put into samadhi. But how different that was from what we're reading here. People are not enlightened throughout their lives, so they grieve immensely at death. The point is, this body is meant for destruction. So Shastra says, why place so much importance on that which is temporary? Rather place the importance on that which is eternal. So we have to become detached, have to live in such a way that we become gradually detached. So we don't want to hold on at the moment of death. To focus on the soul within. Prabhupada once he defined faith. He said, faith is to put your trust in something sublime. Is the body sublime? Should we put so much emphasis, so much stress, so much faith on the body? What is the body? It's a bag of bones and muscles and bloods and veins and stool and urine. What's urine? That's Prabhupada's way of saying urine. Urine. In English, it's old. You peel the skin away. Ugh! We pride ourselves in our hair. As soon as we cut it, we put it in the garbage. We spend hours on the fingernails. I saw one of the girls yesterday, she was painting through the fingernails. But after some time, we cut them, we put them in the garbage. We pierce the body with holes, and we put in the jewelry and the ornaments, the men and the women. Really, it's only glorifying the dead energy, material energy. In general, Vaishnavas, they like to decorate themselves. We also like to decorate ourselves with Kunti Mala. Yamaraj told his servants, if they're wearing the Kunti Mala, don't touch them. You can't go. One who's on the lips of the holy names and who's decorated the Kunti Mala, you can't touch. One guest came to the temple. He said, one of your people told me on the street, if I wear those wooden beads, then death won't touch me. I want to buy a set of beads. No, no, you can't buy, you're not initiated. I said, no, let him buy. He has little shraddha, at least some faith in one principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna said, even the slightest advancement in devotional service can save one from the greatest fear. If he has this faith, let him wear the Kunti Maha. He bought and he wore. I saw him months later. I'm still at my beach. Death won't touch me. No, death will come, but you'll take birth as a devotee. He said, oh, really? I said, yeah. At one festival. It's described one devotee, Raghava Pandit, not our Raghava Pandit. He's Raghava Pandit Das. He was a great devotee and of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he retired to Govardhan. And he lived down at the end of the Govardhan Hill. As you go around to that Narasingha temple and that those two lakes there, just to go around. He lived just around the corner there where Krishna has his springtime Rasalila. And he lived in a cave. And every morning he'd get up and he'd bathe, and then he'd put on his decorations. You know what his decorations were? The dust of Braj. He'd roll in the dust, like for, you know, a long time, he'd roll, and he'd stand up, and he'd leave it like that the whole day. And some, you know, materialistic person, you know, what is this? This is dust. This dust is chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadamasu kaupar viksha akshar viteshu shudabira vipalyantam. This is the dust of Vrindavan. So that's how he decorated himself with the dust of. In this way, you become detached. Most living entities are too attached. One time, Prabhupada was, even as devotees, we remain attached, even after hearing so many instructions on the matter. So maybe we have to come back. One time, Prabhupada was riding in a car with his disciples on the way to Mayapur, and Prabhupada, you know how we do? Like, we coming back from the program at night, you look around in the car. Only the driver looking the way, the rest of us. I was like, we drove back from the program, I think. Have we left yet? The program? I woke up, we're in the parking lot of the temple. So Prabhupada had nodded off, and while Prabhupada was sleeping, the devotees were awake, and one, they were watching. One big of those big trucks they drive in India, it ran over a man on a bicycle. And it made him flat like pancake. Just like you're sitting on these little carpets. He was flat like that. It was like the blood and everything. Oh, the devotee saw it. And when Prabhupada woke up, the Manavisa said, Prabhupada, it was horrible. This truck just ran over into this body. And Prabhupada said, no, that it's horrific for you because you're still in the bodily concept of life. You don't know that the soul is unchangeable. Najayate vadideva. But of course, as we advance, which means as we become more attached to Krishna, that's our advancement. Not just we're renounced, 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 and then we be. No, our process of becoming renounced is by becoming attached to Krishna. Chanaka Panda says you can only give up something if you get something better. That's the real renunciation. You'll only remain fixed in your renunciation if you have the higher taste. Just to renounce is not sufficient because the heart. There's the deepest desire of the heart is, you know, we're persons, we have desires. So it's not that we give up the material desire, but that's not the safest position. Safer is to become attached to Krishna. Then your renunciation is fixed. You won't go back. Like when Prabhupada gave the danda to one sannyasi. Never look back and think you left anything behind. And never envy the position of the materialistic householders. So if you have the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That's your most valuable possession. You value that above anything and everything else you have. Whether you're a tyagi and you have nothing, or a householder and you're using so many things in Krishna's service, if you consider that holy name is your most valuable possession, you're safe. O my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna and Govinda. In all these names, you've invested all your transcendental opulences. We can't even imagine what that means. Thus you've made approach to you very easily through the chanting of your holy names. Unfortunate as I am, Lord, I'll be honest with you, I have very little attraction. But as the years go on, and that attraction for the holy name becomes the prominent things in our life, everything revolves around that name, chanting that name ourselves, chanting it in the association of our God brothers and God sisters, going out on the streets and giving it in a variety of forms to other. Our whole life revolves, then we see, oh, we become detached, and we become attached from the body. That is an amazing thing, to become detached from the body. It really is. It's amazing. Because of our gradual attachment. And we become fearless at death. Dhiras tatta namuyanti, the fourth line of the Dehino Sminyata Dehe. The sadhu at the moment of death, dhiras tatta, he's equipoised. Getting free from the body is like cutting his finger. That doesn't hurt. Taking the body away. He's not even thinking about it. His mind's fixed on the paramgati. What to speak of a devotee who knows that death means the opportunity of going back to Godhead. Like we gave the example of Dhruva Maharaj. When death came, death bowed down to Dhruva because he was such an exalted devotee, and Dhruva took the opportunity to step on the head of death into the Vaikuntha airplane. This is death for a Vaishnava. He's not afraid. And we gave the example the other day of the Jolly Swami, Sridhar Maharaj, or Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I went to see Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj maybe a week before he left. I didn't see any lamentation, any fear. He was preaching to me. So, don't think this won't happen to you. This is what Guru Maharaj said. Yes, sir. And you have to keep pushing the movement. Yes, Maharaj. I felt like a little kid in front of the dad, the big brother, yes. Because he was speaking with so much realization. Again, death accelerates the process of Krishna consciousness. We make up for lost time. Nothing to be afraid of. Remember there was one Italian devotee. I knew him. Very nice Sangha, very humble. Never became a big devotee, quote unquote, in name or title. Years and years and years, in the 80s, I remember. Years of just doing Sangha. Then I heard that he got cancer. Oh, I feel so bad. He didn't feel bad. He went to Vrindavan, and I was so proud of him. I heard that when he left, it was unusual, but he was kind of a character. He's like eccentric for Krishna. When he died, you know what he did? That last moment, you take these last few breaths. I saw it with Brajalila Dasi. There's two or three. You stop breathing. They call it the death breathing. There's two or three last breaths. And then there's nothing. And then like a minute later. And then I think there's one more. And then the mouth opens and the sadhu leaves. Left this place. This devotee, when he took that last breath, all the devotees were there watching, having a big kirtan. A smile came on his face and he went. He gave a thumbs up. Because he was absorbed in that kirtan. He couldn't chant, but he was listening. And then he passed away, and the devotees were attentive to doing different things, and the rigor mortis set in. So on the funeral pyre, his hand was still up there. And that, everyone was overjoyed. Such an auspicious. So that final exam will come for us, and that day will come, and the video of our life will pass, and it won't be a problem, because at any point we want to stop the video, it's going to stop at a kirtan. Or you can say, put that video to that, you know. Something, if the video comes, you have nothing to worry about. Because it'll stop at some kirtan, some class, some feast, some parikrama, something you're reading. Like Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. If some spare time comes, don't misuse it, because maybe when the video's played, you know, then it'll stop there. Uh-oh. No break. There'll be unlimited moments in our lives. Our minds will remember something in Krishna consciousness that was wonderful. So we should be very careful now to utilize all our time. And Prabhupada has given us such a wonderful process that, isn't it, 24 hours a day we're engaged in devotional service. It's actually amazing how he arranged it, how he brought the Vedic culture and adapted it somewhat to our Western culture. But there's no excuse for not being able to remember Krishna, because our day is 24 hours in service, even in dreaming. A few weeks ago I had a dream, because usually dream means wait. Like Prabhupada said, I don't like to sleep because dream means wasting the time. Of course, he was always thinking of Krishna when he was. But I had this dream, and remember that I was running through this like this old decrepit house, and it was full of all kinds of like questionable people and thieves and robbers and like ghostly, like. And then at one point they were all chasing me, and I panicked, and I was running through these dark halls, just lit by like candles, you know, and the weird pictures on the walls. And in my dream, I'm running and running, and there's a door. Oh! And I turned, every time I turned the handle, the door was locked. And the people that were chasing me, all these ugly creatures and people, and, you know, every door I opened, then they didn't open, they were getting closer. And then finally, I saw at the end of the hall, this door opened, and this flood of light came. And then Prabhupada was there. He said, come quickly. And he extended his hand. And I leaped forward, and Prabhupada grabbed my hand. And he pulled me out of that house into this beautiful world. There was chirping birds and little rivers and singing. He said, everything's okay. Come with me. Then I woke up. That was my dream. So even in dreaming, usually dreaming means so much nonsense, that you this and that, you see different things. But if we're... usually what you dream about is a result of what you do during the day. So if we're very intensely engaged in devotion, if we make it a very intense thing, our service to Guru and Gauranga, and preaching is a very intense thing, that's our main activity. If we make it very intense, that even at night we'll have the opportunity, just like I remember Sri Prahlad, when he was young, 15, 16, 17, traveling with me, fresh out of the Gurukul and all those, you know, pleasant experiences, you know. Often he'd be chanting. I'd wake up, he'd be going, Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Everyone chant! I'd wake up, all right, Hare Krishna! Hare say, no, get away! Let us preach! All the time he was waking with these far out things. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda! And he'd be moving like he was doing kirtan in the bed. It was really far out. But like that, that's the hardest part, because dream we just let go. But hopefully as time goes on, the heart becomes purified and we're left with a deeper shamskar, the deeper impression of devotional service. As you get older, then the things that you used to do, little things, that then they have more meaning, and they're, you know, you're purified, and those things have more deeper impression upon you. So that... Kirtaniyat Sadahari, 24 hours a day we're immersed. So then when death comes, pick any moment. Pick any moment in the life that'll be sufficient to help you Shmaranam, Vishnu Smaranam, Krishna Shmaranam, and then back home, back to Godhead. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, back home, back to Godhead ki, Gopamanandi.